Good morning, West Cypress Church.
Good morning.
How are we doing this great July morning? You know, we're like 3 weeks past Easter, or 3 months past Easter. It's only 5 months left until Christmas. We're here to talk about peace. I thought I'd bring a little peace for you. We've been going through the fruits of the Spirit and gone over love and we've gone over joy. Today we're going to talk about peace. And as we get there, we'll be in Philippians chapter 4 if you want to turn there to start off. Have you ever seen those signs at work that say, we have had blank number of days since an accident or blank number of days since an OSHA injury? Have you seen those? Maybe you've seen them on the internet. Maybe they are at your workplace. They're around and it's just kind of crazy. It's a little scary that we have to come up with those signs because what was happening in that workplace before we got those signs? And what was going through the manager's head? Hey, we've got a lot of accidents and injuries going on. Let's put up a sign that publicly shames people for the injuries and accidents that we've had. Let's keep track of all that we do. And so we put these signs up to say, it's been so many days since this has happened. And now you go into work and there's this burden at work like, oh man, it's been like 179 days since our last accident. What if I'm the next accident? My boss is going to be so mad at me. And now you're starting to think about not performing an accident, that you're not thinking about performing safely on your job. And that's when you break the safety record and everybody gets mad at you. Thank you for the signs. Yes, I am why we have a zero now, right? Yay, it's so good. But can you imagine if we started putting those signs up in our lives, in our cars? It's been so many days since I've texted while driving. It's been, you know, whatever. What if we put them up in our houses? Think of it. It's been so many days since the kids have done the dishes or haven't done the dishes. It's been so many days since Dad forgot to put the toilet seat down. It's been so many days since the internet didn't cut out. It's been so many days since the pets didn't destroy the furniture or bark amazingly loud for no apparent reason at all. It's been so many days since we've had a good home-cooked meal that hasn't been burnt. Or it's been so many days since we've experienced peace in this house. And you're like, wow, Pastor, thanks for that. Like, we were having fun talking about signs. Way to go there and ruin the morning. But maybe that hits home for you. Maybe it's not your house. Maybe it's your workplace, or maybe it's your friendships. Maybe it's just life in general that just feels like it's pummeling you, and you think, like, I can't remember the last day I felt peace in my life. And I'm overwhelmed by everything. It's been so many days since I have experienced peace. Let me ask you this question. You don't have to answer it out loud. Just think about it. What is it that robs your peace? What is it that robs your peace? I'll tell you one of the things for me on a simple level. Change. Change robs my peace. I like my order. I like my routine. I like knowing when something is going to happen and what to expect for something to happen. I like all those things. And so when change gets thrown into my schedule, can I adapt to it? Yes. Can I get around that change? Yes. Can I get behind it? Eventually. But at the beginning, my soul and my head and my heart are at unrest because you've ruined my routine. And I don't know what to expect and when to expect it. And that changes my peace. Simple things. There are more difficult things that change, that rob my peace as well. This morning, I want to talk about peace. But I want to talk about not just peace on this world with physical things, the spiritual peace that we have from God. The spiritual fruit of God growing peace in our lives, that it would bring glory to Him and bring peace in our own lives. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. And so to get there, I thought we would just start out just settling ourselves. So what I want you to do is you're going to take a slow, deep breath in through the nose, and then you're going to take a slow exhale out of your mouth. You ready? Breathe in. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. And now I hope you brush your teeth, otherwise you just rob your neighbor of peace. But let's do that again. In through the nose. It's kind of nice to take a deep breath. It slows things down for a minute. Peace God cares about your peace. God wants to grow peace in your life. I think we talked about joy last week being used 430 times in the Bible. Peace is used about 360 or 370 times in the Bible. Does God care about peace in our lives? Absolutely, He does. Two main words, we'll put this up on the screen. In Hebrew, it is shalom, and in Greek, it is eirene. It means an all-around well-being, freedom from fear and want, contentment in relationship with God, with others, and creation, tranquility, completeness, assurance of salvation, and in God because He is faithful. That's peace. That's the peace that God wants to work in your life. And as God works that kind of peace in your life, it impacts all the other kind of pieces that you might need in your life as well. Peace is completeness. And maybe you're like me, you're thinking, I like that. That sounds good. I want that in my life. Lord, how do we get there? And that's what we want to talk about today. But if change is going to happen in your life, peace has got to take root in your life. Peace has got to take root in your hearts and in your minds. And I have some encouraging words for you about who God is and the things that He's working and how He works those things. But here's the bottom line for us today, church, as we go through this. Peace doesn't come passively. You don't just sit there and peace. You've got to fight for it with everything that you have. Peace does not come passively. You've got to fight for it with everything you have. Which sounds awkward, to fight for peace, right? I saw someone that was trying to be clever, like, you don't fight for peace, you peace for peace. What does that even mean? I'm telling you what the Bible says. You've got to fight for peace in your life. And you've got to fight for it with everything that you have. Just like we fight with a technical system in our building. So would you stand with me as we read from Philippians this morning, as we talk about peace. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 4 through 9. And you're going to see the intermarriage in the Bible of joy and peace and how they work together. This is God's word for this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray this morning, church. Lord, I do come before you as we talk about peace. Man, we all need that. Individually, we need your peace in our life. Corporately, as a church family, and as all the different church families, we need your peace. Lord, as we read news articles and we see things that are going on in the world needs to experience and know your peace. And God, I pray that that peace would take root in our hearts and our minds today. That we would fight for it like you fight for it for us. That we would be a beacon of peace for you to the world around us. That they can experience true joy and peace. God, use this time to teach us and guide us. Have your way, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, church. Paul is the one writing this letter to the church in Philippi. And Paul is just an amazing man. He wasn't one of the 12 that originally followed Jesus. But he came soon after, and he just had a heart for the gospel and a heart for people understanding who God is and his love for them, and he just traveled the world telling people. And so he's writing this letter, and he's just spot on. And one of the crazy things is Paul is talking about rejoice in the Lord always and experience God's peace. Where is Paul as he's writing this letter? He's in prison. He's in jail, but it doesn't seem to bother him at all because he's at peace. Rejoice in the Lord always. Whatever you have that's burdening you, come and bring that before the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will surround you. The peace of God that is bigger than we can understand, bigger than things that we can fully comprehend or explain to people. That peace is the peace that God wants to give to us. We can rejoice because God is with us. We can pray and we can trust God and His promises. We can have peace because we know that God is there and He is faithful. Amen. Let the peace of God guard your hearts and your minds. When strife and turmoil and pain and struggle and all these things collide into our lives, somehow we can sit with all these things and have peace. Because the peace of God passes understanding. It's unexplainable, but it's also undeniable. It's undeniable because in verse 9, Paul says this, and I love this, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." The God of what? Peace. The God of peace will be with you. Why is the peace of God so tremendous? Why is it so unexplainable and so undeniable? Because He's the God of peace. Not of some peace, not of most peace. He's God of all peace. And so when God wants to bring you peace, He's not giving you a sliver or a portion. He's giving you all of it, and He can give you all of it because He's the God of all of it. The God of peace. Let Him guard your hearts and minds with the peace that passes understanding. Have you ever been in that spot where, for whatever reason, life is insane and you don't know how you're going to get your next breath, but somehow you have peace in it all? That's the peace that passes understanding. If you see someone shaking their head, find them and talk to them about what that's like. Because it's amazing when you experience that peace. I want to talk about three different types of peace. We're going to start with the first peace that we all need if we want to experience God's peace, and that is this: peace with God. And this isn't necessarily the spiritual fruit that that Paul is writing about in Galatians when he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. He's not talking about having a right relationship with God, but without that right relationship with God, that fruit of peace isn't going to grow in our lives. Does that make sense? Okay, good. So the God of peace, we need to have peace with God. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." We have peace with God. Why can we even have peace with God? Because He sent His Son to die on the cross to make the payment for our sins, which has separated us from Him. The relationship is broken. Later on in verse 10 of chapter 5 of Romans, what we just read, Paul's going to say, "While you were enemies, Christ died for you." While you were what? Enemies. You might think, "No, I'm not an enemy of God. I'm a pretty good kid. I do good things. And I'm good. God loves me because I'm a good boy. I'm a good girl." No. You are, without faith in Christ, you are an enemy to God. There's no other way around it. There's no other story. That's what it is. There's no other truth. That's the truth of the Bible. You and I are enemies before God. I know I talk about pickleball sometimes, and it's a really fun game. You should get out there and enjoy it with us. But the other day, we went to lunch with a bunch of people from church, and we were talking with a couple like, "Oh, you got to come out and play pickleball with us. It's going to be so much fun." And like, "I got to know." "Oh, no, we'll teach you. It's good. But here's the thing that I need you to know, that if my wife teaches you how to play pickleball, you're going to learn how to be really competitive. Because the minute you can actually like hit the ball over the net, she's like, "Okay, you've got this. It's on. You are my enemy. You know how to play." And she's going to smash the ball on you. And then like, think it over. "Oh, I'm sorry. Could you not get that?" "Oh, you'll get better like me. But I don't want you to win because you're my enemy. This is a game and I'm going to win. I'm competitive." Okay, it's not really that bad. But my wife is a fierce competitor. She doesn't like to lose. She will be patient with you out there. She's not going to totally smash the ball on you because you can hit the ball over the net. But when we're out there playing that game, it doesn't matter how friendly we are with everybody. The minute you step on the court, all bets are off. You are my enemy. I'll laugh with you, and mostly I'm going to laugh at you because you couldn't hit the shot that I hit. Because I'm going to win, because you're my enemy. Now, I'm not saying God is a competitor like that to us. He's not laughing at us. He's not pointing at us like, no one can get that shot. But I am telling you this, that without faith in Christ, you are an enemy to God. That is the biblical truth. And while we're enemies with God, we're in desperate need at that point. We're hurting, and it's something that we can't get out of. And yet God, in His mercy, sends forth Jesus to pay the price of our sins. In Colossians, it says this, and Paul writes this too. For in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Do you see that? Jesus making peace by his sacrifice on the cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Why can we get there? Why can we stand in God's presence? Because Jesus has done everything to make peace with God for us. Amen? Jesus has done everything to erase that this idea of being an enemy to God. While we were still enemies, while we were still kicking and screaming and hurling insults at Jesus, he went to the cross on our behalf to make peace. And here's where peace doesn't come passively and you have to fight for it with everything you have. The only way to obtain that peace for God is humility. How many people like being humbled? Good. It's not that we don't like humility, but we don't like to be humbled. We have to admit we're in the wrong. We have to admit that we've broken the relationship. We have to admit that there's nothing I can do to repair it but accept God's invitation of faith in Jesus. If I want to have peace, I have to fight against my pride to get there. And I have to constantly fight against my pride every day to get there. Amen? Peace with God is there for us. But it comes at a cost. It's fighting against our pride. It's taking up humility, and it's accepting God's gift of invitation. Now, here's the thing. I don't know where you're all at, and sometimes as pastors, we wait till the end of the sermon as we tell people about Jesus, and like maybe people want to make a decision for Christ, and we'll make a big spectacle of it at the end. If you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and this is something you want more information on or want to do, I encourage you to stand up right now and walk to the back of the room and walk out those glass doors, and we will have an elder go and pray with you and talk to you about that. If you need to go to the bathroom, wait 2 minutes. And being funny, but being serious, because I don't want this moment to pass by. I don't want to not give you this opportunity to say, I want the peace of God in my life. I want to humble myself and accept God's invitation. And if that's where you're at right now, we want to talk with you and we want to pray with you right now. We'll pray with you after the service too, no problem at all. But don't wait on it. Take it up, because God is a God of peace, and he extends that peace to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Moving on, point number two. We have peace with God, but the second thing I want to talk about is this, that we have peace with others. God bless you. Romans chapter 12 says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lonely. Never be wise in your own sight, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Whew. What a few bunch of verses, right? There's a lot of bless people, don't curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony. Don't be proud. Associate with the lowly. Don't repay evil for evil. As far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. As far as it depends on you, live peaceably with most people. Right? No. Live peaceably with all people. All means all. That's all means. Amen? Live peaceably with all. God, you don't know some of the people in life. Pastor, you don't know some of the people in life. I don't have to know the people in your life. I know you. I know your love for the Lord. And I know what God calls us to do. Love all people. Live at peace as far as it depends on us. On our ability to do that. And we have that ability. When we put our faith in Christ, we have this little thing from God called the Holy Spirit, which is a tremendous power and gift. Jesus, in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, and all that, some of those beautiful passages, but he says this, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. How can I have peace with other people that might not want to have peace with me? Because whose peace do I really have in my life? Jesus' peace. And do you think Jesus has given me like a crumb of his peace? Man, he is flooding his peace into my life. Why? So I can live peaceably with all. And not for the sake of me feeling good about my life and being able to go to sleep at the end of the day, so that God is honored and glorified. As God has made peace with me, I should make peace with everyone else, so that God gets the glory. Amen? Jesus is saying this in the context of a dinner with someone that's about to go and betray him. My peace I give to you, except you, Judas, but everyone else, you get my peace. Right? Is that what the Bible says? No, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, do I give. But Jesus, Judas is sitting right there. Yeah, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everybody. But what if like a bad person, what if an enemy is in my midst? As far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everybody. I worked at Domino's Pizza for 6 or 7 years. I'm neither proud nor embarrassed of that. I learned what pizza I like the best. And I worked my way to being a manager, which I always thought was great. It was only for like 6 months, but on the resume I'd be like, Domino's Pizza, 7 years. Manager. I would tell the truth. But so one day I'm there, and this woman calls up on the phone, and this is nothing against women, it just happened to be woman. And she is yelling and screaming, and she is like off her rocker mad at us. And I'm just like, what? Like, what happened? Did someone eat half of your pizza? I'm trying to figure out what happened. And she's so mad because we defaced the community, and we went out there and we stapled all these pizza boxes up on telephone poles telling them about specials of buy two pizzas for $8.99 or whatever. And I'm sitting there like, ma'am, like, what are you talking? You know exactly what I'm talking. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And she is just irate that we would dare do something like that. It just so happened that a different manager did that on a different shift. So I'm really sitting there. I have no idea what she's talking about. But I'm in a moment that a woman is screaming at me for something I didn't do. And which path am I going to walk? Am I going to walk the path of reflection and give you your attitude right back, which is sometimes my go-to, but just horribly wrong, because that's not making every effort? Or am I going to take the path of peace? I'll tell you the rest of the story another time. No, I'm kidding. I just sat down and said, ma'am, another manager might have done that on another shift. If you can tell me where they are, I will send a driver out right now to go and get those signs taken down. I'm so sorry this happened. I chose the road of peace. I chose the road of gentleness. The demeanor of the phone call changed when she understood that I was trying to understand and make peace. And it became a much better situation. But I had to fight for peace in that relationship because war was coming at me whether I knew about it or not. And which way was I going to go? I chose peace. And it made the difference in that situation. Paul writes in Romans, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace. Make every effort. As far as it depends on you, make every effort to live at peace. Remember, peace doesn't come passively. You're going to have to fight for it. And how do we fight for peace with other people? Here comes that word again, humility. It's the willingness to say, for the sake of this relationship and for the sake of peace, I will fall on the sword. Although I'm not in the wrong and I didn't do anything to cause this, I'll take the blame so that we can move forward. It's the ability to say, I don't always have to be right, because peace is more important than being right. And we're going to have to fight for that with everything that we have. Third thing I want to talk about is peace within ourselves. Isaiah 26, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Let me say that again. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord your God is an everlasting God. through faith, we can have peace with God. Our warring relationship is brought back to peace. We receive the Holy Spirit, which does this transforming work in our lives and changes us. It allows us to have peace with other people where we might stand and fight and get angry. But sometimes one of the last places that we have peace is peace within ourselves. And we fight things, and whatever it is, we lose that. And yet Isaiah the prophet is writing, "You keep him in perfect peace who has his mind stayed on you." That God could settle the inner turmoil that we face every day if we would keep our mind stayed on him. That we could have peace within ourselves. And I think this is probably one of the most critical ways we need to experience God's peace. Because when we are living in turmoil within ourselves, it's very hard to live at peace with others because we're not even living at peace in the day-to-day moments in our lives. And yet the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Do I have that peace with God? There's a pastor named John Planchard, and he says this, "The peace of God is being grateful for past mercy, conscious of present mercy, and certain of future mercy." And I think that is an absolutely brilliant quote. I want you to like put that in memory somehow, that when you get in those hard times in life, when you struggle with yourself and like, can God even love me? Does God even care? Yeah, have I done too much this and that? Peace is found being grateful for his past mercy, conscious or aware of his present mercy, and certain of the future mercy that he has for us. Amen. It's a beautiful, beautiful statement. If we want to experience God's peace in our lives, we have to focus on his mercy. Now for me, I got to tell you, this is one of the hardest parts of being a Christian for me. One of the things I probably struggle with the most, because my sins are always before me. My inadequacies are always before me. I will make jokes that make me sound like I'm arrogant and I'm a jerk and all these things. And it's really nervous laughter because I'm so insecure on the inside about who I am. I'm so afraid to let people see who I really am and all my shortcomings and all my failings that they would reject me, that I give a persona that is not who I am to make me seem like everything's okay. But I struggle inwardly. I lose sight of God's mercies. I lose sight of the certainty of the things that he's done. Sometimes all I can see is how I've failed him again and again and again. And I wonder, have I failed too many times that I've run out of mercy? When Jesus says forgive 77 times 7 times, have I gone past that number so far? The answer is yes, by the way, but we all have. We've well surpassed that number. But he still loves because his mercies are new every morning, amen? And I have to remember that. I have to fight for that in my life, that God loves me. God isn't standing at the door when I come home like, yeah, sorry, Brian, I thought it would be a good fit to adopt you into this family, but yeah, it's just not working out. Go find another place. No, no matter what I've gone through, no matter the dumb things I may have done or the good things I may have done, he stands there with open arms and welcomes me into his family. Because he is a God of love, he's a God of joy, and he's a God of peace, and he's a God that has made peace with me. And I've got to get out of my own head of seeing my own inadequacies that leave me at unrest. And I need to focus on what he has already accomplished in the cross for me, that the future he has for me, that the blessings he has given me, the blessings I'm currently experiencing from him, and the blessings that are yet to come, because God loves me. I have to fight for that peace. I love Colossians. It says this, and I'm going to kind of wrap up with this. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. "Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Let me read that again. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." You know what I love about this verse? It's not a promise about what is yet to come. I'm not waiting for this verse to be fulfilled. The verse doesn't say, let's give thanks to the Father because one day he's going to qualify us. No, he has qualified you. Amen? He through Jesus Christ, he has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. We're not waiting for that day that we're going to be delivered out of that. He has already done it, church. If you want to have peace within yourself, understand this, that God has already delivered you. Amen? Man, find that truth and live in that truth of what God has done for you, because that's what brings the peace. He has delivered you from the domain of darkness. And not only that, he has already transferred us to the kingdom of the Son that he loves. I'm not waiting for that day when I finally get to get in that house with him. I can live in that house every day with him because he's already delivered me and transferred me. And he's already delivered you and transferred you. It's not something that's yet to come. It's the here and now. And we're experiencing it in part now, but we're going to experience it in full when we get to heaven. But it's here now. And it's here now so that we would experience peace in our own lives. That no matter what happens, this world's going to throw a bunch of things at you. But I can come back to this and go, yeah, life's not good this week. But let me tell you what's good. God's qualified me to share an inheritance of the saints. He's delivered me from the domain of darkness. He's transferred me into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And I have forgiveness of sins. What else do I need? I need a house. I have peace because of what God has already done. Amen? As you walk out this room, church, God has made peace with you through Jesus Christ. And in that peace, he grows this fruit of peace so that we can be at peace with other people and peace within ourselves, not just so that we feel comfortable about our lives, but more importantly, that people see the glory of God and go, I want that kind of peace in my life as well. The fruit of peace is a beautiful thing. We're going to get ready to take communion together. And after that, we're going to sing a few more songs that kind of talk about that peace. But I want to close with this verse from Numbers chapter 6. And this is Abraham. It's not Abraham. It's Aaron and the priests giving a blessing to Israel. And it's this beautiful blessing. And it says this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Church, that is a blessing not only for the people of Israel thousands of years ago, it is a blessing for the church today, for you sitting here now. And as we come to this table, as we get ready to partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper, I want you to know that the Lord has caused his face to shine upon you, that he brings peace. And so maybe even, Jerry, if we can keep that slide up. If you're at home or watching the live stream, don't worry, it's going to be up there. Because I want you to be reminded as you come to this table and take the bread and the juice. We have a station here. We have a station in the back over there and a station over there. You can take the communion there. You can bring it back to your seat. Spend some time with the Lord. Thank him that he has given you peace. Thank him for the blessings that he gives you. And then go out and live that peace for the world to see, that they could see God as well. Amen? I'm going to say a prayer. After that, we'll take communion. Then if you would like any prayer, I invite you to come to the back of the room, and elders, just watch. If someone goes back there, won't you pray with them? Let's pray together, church. God, I thank you. You are an amazing God. You are the God of peace. And the peace that you give isn't just like, oh, that feels nice. I feel better today. It's a peace that goes beyond our understanding or our explanation. Like, we can't really fully describe it, but it's there, and many of us, if not all of us, have experienced it on some level. Lord, as we come to the table this morning, as we share in the bread and the juice, we're reminded that even when we were enemies, you made peace with us. And Father, by the power of your Spirit, when we head out into the world and there seem to be people who are enemies with us, just as you made peace with us, so God, we have the power and the challenge and the charge to make peace with them as well, to bring you glory. Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you for your peace, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.